Well, good morning. My name is Janet Russell, and I'm the pastor of Christian Formation and Community Life here. And Pastor Phil this week is in Chicago because everyone wants to go to Chicago in January. It's just obvious, but he is there for Midwinter, which is our annual pastor's conference for our denomination. So you can be praying just for a time of renewal and refreshment for him this week. Let's begin with prayer. Lord God, open our minds to truly hear you through your word. Open our eyes to see you in our midst. Open our hearts to be willing to be changed. For your glory, we pray. Amen. So we're in a sermon series called Together in Mission, and we've been going through our covenant affirmations, which are simply the things that we have claimed as essential and formational and the core beliefs of our denomination, the things that are central to our life and thought together. So today's affirmation is the affirmation that we are the fellowship of believers, which seems a bit ironic with Omicron raging and how so many of us now are having to step back from being together in the congregation and having to be online at home. Is it still true in the midst of COVID that we are the fellowship of believers? Is it still true that we are the fellowship of believers when people are becoming so disillusioned with the church and choosing to opt out? Some people are saying, well, I'm still a Christian and I still feel close to God, but church really isn't my thing. Or they say, I don't want to be identified with the church anymore. Or, well, I just prefer to watch online. Is it okay to go it alone? I know for many of you, it is excruciating to be at home. You would love to be here if you could, and we hope that time comes soon. And I have to say, it was pretty sweet when I got to stay home and just watch the service on TV, sitting with my cup of tea and my blanket and not having any responsibilities, not having to interact with you all, not having to deal with the sin of my neighbors or the sin of us as a corporate body. My own sin is quite enough. It takes energy to be in community. It takes time to be present. And it isn't always pleasant. If you were here a couple weeks ago, you would have seen that we had some pipes that had broken up in the ceilings, and you saw tarps and humidifiers throughout our building, and ceiling panels and baseboards were displaced. One of the pews in the sanctuary had to quickly be put back in place so that we could have it ready for Sunday worship. It's a great picture of who we are. We aren't always neat and tidy, even if we might want to appear to be. And sometimes we pretty things up maybe a little bit for Sunday morning. But the reality is, we have a lot of broken and displaced parts. We are in the process of healing and renewal, but there's still a lot of furniture that needs to be rearranged. Now, I'm going to do something that Jeff and the tech crew aren't not going to like. I have asked some folks to come up and help me, so come on forward, folks. And I have promised them that I wouldn't make them do anything humiliating. So all they're going to do, and I'm going to explain this to those of you who are at home who may not be able to see what's going on here, but they're going to come up and they're taking a brick from this basket. And then I've just asked them to kind of space out. And one person said, oh, it's easy to space out. That comes naturally. But I've asked them to arrange themselves with distance between them because I just want to illustrate something to you. Now, would you, those that have your bricks, oh, you guys are wonderful. Would you just lift them up just so everybody can see them? That's great. So these are just bricks, right? No life in them, just inanimate. And each one is separate and all alone from the others. Now imagine that this big brick on my table over here, that's Christ. That's Christ, the living stone, the one rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him. He died for us, making a way for us to come to the holy God. He's the cornerstone. As we align our lives with him, then he sets us in place. He helps make it all make sense. So now, you guys, we bring the bricks up to the table. You guys know what to do. So our text says, these are the just bricks. You guys got that. But our text says that we come as living stones, that we are like living stones, and we are being built into a spiritual house. Now, Ephesians says that with Jesus as our chief cornerstone, we become a holy temple in the Lord, a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. Thank you, helpers. Appreciate you. Without Christ, we are like inanimate bricks, off on our own. But as we come to Christ, our cornerstone, we become a temple. We become the place where God lives, where God moves, where God is made known. Together in Christ, we become something supernatural. And I mean that in the very sense of that word, supernatural. It's a mysterious thing. We are not bricks anymore. In the Old Testament, God resided in the temple, and the priests were the only ones that had access to him. But now we together are his temple, and we together are his priests. Now, Jewish men thanked God every single day that they were not a slave, a Gentile, or a woman. And we hear this and we think, ooh, that is so arrogant. That is so demeaning. But slaves, Gentiles, and women didn't have the same religious privileges that a free Jewish man did. They were prohibited from entering the temple and those inner parts of the temple. And they were prohibited from being where the priests were ministering. They were excluded, punishable by death. And Jewish men expressed gratitude daily that they could enter the temple and they could be in the presence of Yahweh. But in Christ, the Apostle Paul declares, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. He lists the same people that were in their daily prayer. Now in Christ, we are all one. No one is excluded from full participation. I get to be up here. None of these bricks are more important or better than the other than the Christ cornerstone. Together we are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. And as priests, we offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. We don't offer lambs and doves. We offer our words. We offer a sacrifice of praise, honoring God with all that we say. And we offer our bodies, our lives, as a living sacrifice. As priests, we give all that we are, all that we say, all that we do for God's purposes and glory. So together we are being built into a spiritual house, into God's dwelling place to be his priesthood. But it also says in our text in verse 9 that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. I don't have time to talk about all of these in detail, but Peter the writer is just piling on the titles, the names, the images, the language that in the Old Testament only applied to the nation of Israel. And when Moses went up to Mount Sinai, God told him to tell the people of Israel, "Now, if you obey me and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Do you hear the language? But for Israel, there was a caveat. If you obey God's covenant, then you will be. And they blew it. They couldn't do it. But now, as we come to Christ, finding forgiveness in him and his death on the cross, we participate in a new covenant. And it is the new covenant of Christ's blood, as we hear every time we receive communion. Christ becomes our cornerstone. And we now are his chosen people, his royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And what does that mean? What does that mean to be God's people? What does that mean in how he thinks of us and how he acts towards us? And the Old Testament describes his heart for his people. And I just want you to soak this in. Soak this in. This is the truth of who we are. We are his precious treasure. He delights over us. His eyes are upon us. He watches over us. He seats us at his feet, and he carries us in his arms, and he holds us in the very palm of his hand. And he calls us his beloved, the apple of his eye. He is jealous for us, not wanting anything to steal us from his love. And he cares for us as a husband delights in his wife, as the perfect father loves and cares for his son, as a farmer tends the vineyard, as a good shepherd cares for the sheep. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. He knows us intimately, and he provides for our needs. He shows us his favor, his affection, his unfailing love. He pours out his blessings upon us. Breathe that in. This is truth. We are God's own, his beloved, the place where he has chosen to dwell. And together, we are God's family, his body, his temple, his priesthood. Together. Whether we like church or not, whether we're able to come to church or not, it's the truth of who we are. And to be honest, it's thrilling and it's terrifying. When someone decides to opt out, they miss out on experiencing the fullness of God's favor and glory. And we all miss out. A piece of the temple, a piece of this God's dwelling place is missing. It reminds me of the Jenga block towers. And if you pull one out, the tower still stays standing, but it's not as strong. And if you keep pulling those pieces out, it gets more and more precarious, which is really exciting when it's a game, but not as exciting when it's God's home. We are God's people, where God dwells. And it calls for a response, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. It goes back to that offering all of ourselves as a living sacrifice, praising him with all that we say and do, not out of obligation, but surrendering to his love. Not like teenagers who just obey until they can get out of the house. But I think of our 2-year-old granddaughter who is in that delightful phase where she hasn't figured out the difference between chores and games. She just enjoys being with Daddy. and responding to his love. So, what are some ways that we can respond to this? How do we begin to live this out? First, we can give space to recognize who God is and what he has done. That's why we're together in worship. That's why we share our lives together. That's why we spend time in his word, and that's why we pray. And second, we can show up. Be really present to God, to ourselves, to the community that we live in. And this is way harder than it sounds. For one thing, it means that we have to make margins so that we can breathe. And that we need to get the rest that our bodies need so that we really can be where we are. So that we can be attentive to God, to ourselves, and to one another. And the third, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Why does God have you where you are, in your family, in your school, in your workplace? Why does God have you in this church? Why does God have you in this community? Who is there for you to pray for? Who is there for you to bless and serve? Who is there for you to show Christ's love? And as a church, who are we here to pray for? Who are we here to bless and serve? And who are we here to share Christ's love? How can we declare God's praises with our words and with our lives in the place where God has put us? This doesn't mean that we have this all figured out. The verbs are continuous sense. As you continually come to Christ, you are being built into a spiritual house. As the fellowship of believers, we are people coming to Christ. We haven't got this figured out. We don't have this nailed. And the living stone, as we come to that living stone, we're being built. We're in process. Some of our baseboards are missing. And some of the ceiling panels may be stained and may be still displaced. I first borrowed some bricks from my son, and I just brought one today because I don't know if you can see this. For one thing, they're a lot heavier, and it's got some mud and muck. He had them in their backyard, and it's got some moss, and it's got some of the mortar from wherever it used to be. And really, this would have been a better image for us, wouldn't it? Because when we come, sometimes we still have our mud and muck and moss and broken bits still there. And this is really, really kind of dirty. But I'll just put that up there. For us, the mess comes with us. And sometimes the dirt we bring just kind of gets all spread around, doesn't it? You may have doubts of who God is. And whether you want to be a part of the church, capital C, or the part of any church, you may be mad at the church and how you've seen the people of the church respond. And you may have had to deal with the muck and the moss and the broken bits that come with us. But we are not God, and we are not Jesus Christ. Don't let the church get in the way of what really matters. We are just people coming to Christ. And like living stones, joining together with others, being built into God's holy dwelling place. That we may declare the praises of him together. It's an amazing mystery. It's powerful. And it's humbling. So as I close, I just want to give a moment of silence. That you just soak this in, that you are a part of God's chosen people, his dwelling place. And just respond to him as honestly as you can. So I'll give a moment of silence and then I'll close with prayer. Holy God, I feel a bit in awe, overwhelmed, convicted, grateful. We praise and thank you for your mercy that you have called us to be your own and that you have chosen to make your home here among us. And we confess that we are poor representatives of you. Our prayers are weak, our faith is shallow, and our service is often self-serving. In your mercy, help us to grow individually and as a church, giving space for being with you, space to acknowledge you, space to worship you. And help us to truly show up to you and to our own lives and the people around us. Show us what we need to do to be able to be fully present. And we ask that you would give us courage and a willingness to offer ourselves, our words, our time, our energy, all that we are, to your purposes and your praise. Give us eyes to see the opportunities and hearts to respond. May all that we say and do be an offering of praise to you, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.